Well, last Sunday, Pastor Gill was preaching on the sermon series, We Are Not Alone. It's amazing to know that whatever we do as being Christians, we don't have to do it alone, but we do have the help of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Pastor Gill also mentioned that the ideas of the songs of ascent in the Psalms, and that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection are there to ensure us that we are not alone in this walk of this life. It's almost like God makes his abode within his people and to live within them through Jesus. And it's not that we were able to come to God as a result of ourselves, but that God came to us and he gave us life. But today I'd like to continue in the series what is mostly overlooked in some cases. And the ascension of Jesus marks the beginning of how the early church moved forward and how the move of God spread out towards Jerusalem. 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he ascends into heaven and does all that he said he would promise he would do. He gives his disciples power to continue the ministry. He sends the Holy Spirit and he takes his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, if we can turn to our Bibles today to Acts 1 verse 6 to 11. I would like to read this today. Verse 1. So when they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power. Someone say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, also known as Edmonton. You will be my witnesses in the places and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Well, before this all ever happens, we see in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that many times the disciples doubted. Whenever Jesus spoke a word, they needed clarification to his sayings that he was proclaiming day by day. But after Jesus rose again, they knew exactly that what Jesus said, he will fulfill. They had gone from doubting to hoping with expectation. You know, sometimes the problem has come that so many are held back by strongholds that can't seem to be loosed. When Christ beckons on the heart's door, it's saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. But rather, when we are persecuted, we're not abandoned. When we are struck down, we're not destroyed. And that is hope. It is ascended beyond our heart's understanding, beyond something farther than we can think or imagine. It is hope. While war strikes rapid in our world, the war in Ukraine, you know, there's so much dissension, there's so much worry, there's so much doubt in the world. There's sorrow, there's fear, there's strikes our societies, but one thing remains. A hope that is seen is a hope that is eternal. You're hoping for COVID to go away very soon. We're hoping for Edmonton's weather to be plus 20 daily. Of course, I know you're hoping for that. We're hoping for gas prices to go down. You see, I've got some attention today. But some hope is temporary. But this hope that Christ provides for you and I today, It leaves us here with something to live for. It leaves us with a passion. It leaves us with a drive, something to get up, and a divine purpose of living with meaning. This is the true hope that Christ provides us. You see, the disciples were held by doubt, unbelief, and fear. But the joy they went rejoicing after the ascension of Jesus had happened. You see, there's more to life than just waking up and going about our day. But it comes a time that we must simply realize. We must simply realize that that what I hope for determines the trajectory of my decisions that I will make. And this is our hope. See, the disciples was with Jesus and said, I will go even to death without having any hope. But have you ever found yourself making a promise that you have never fulfilled? This wrong heart posture that the disciples had was removed from them after the ascension of Jesus. After Jesus was risen from the dead and he ascended, they had both lived and heard the saying that we will serve him to prison, even to death. They lived it after Jesus was risen from the dead. See, there was a shift that happened in the equation with the disciples' life. And the faith that they carried with the promises of Jesus, one thing remained. They had hope. Well, the book of Romans 5 verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. I like this next version, and it says, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. This is the word that hope brings us confidence in times of need. There comes a time when we're usually faced with a big decision in our life. You're buying a new house. You're applying for a new job. You're just wondering where to go next. Or when something you so greatly anticipate for, it doesn't come to pass. You see, the disciples during this time in Jerusalem, they had so many questions. But when Jesus had ascended into heaven, they had a new vision, they had a new purpose, and they had something to live for. They had hope. I remember one time being my freshman years in high school, getting an assignment in my art class. And I had anticipated that I was going to get this Caravaggio painting, one painting that I really wanted to do. And I really hoped for this painting, you know, and it happened to be the only painting that I got in my class. And so I really wanted this painting. I hoped for, I expected, and I received. But Paul relates to something even better. And that is, the substance of faith manifests hope that produces patience. He says, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. True hope is not seen, but it's waited for with patience. If we can only see to wait for God's timing and not our timing, it will be the best timing. God shows you to open a business or move into a new aspects of your giftings and skills and expertise, but don't give up and doubt, but hope with great anticipation and drive. It's because while we look at, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are unseen are eternal. That's 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18. Well, there are some things that cannot be done simply without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what the disciples knew. If Jesus ascended into heaven, I still need him. I need something to hope for. I need someone to encourage me and to empower me. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he uses hope as the essence to ignite our life as a flame of fire for the kingdom of God. There are some things that hope requires if it will produce results. Hope requires patience. is an unseen yet eternal reality. And Paul knew the secret was to simply wait. The disciples knew that the secret was patience and understanding God's instruction for their every step in their life. You know, there are many key leaders in our generations. You know, people like Martin Luther King, they waited for freedom. And many people, they had patience. Even a Mahatma Gandhi who waited for the independence for the freedom of India. There is a patience involved in the process. But truly, the only hope that can be hoped for that produces eternal results is that which was laid in Christ Jesus because he still lives today. His ascension makes the way for our hope to be up to date to its full capacity. And that is our hope. You know, I was very excited. I was coming home for a 2-week break in Toronto before leaving to Edmonton. I checked the fridge for anything that would expire when I came back, and I checked the milk carton and it read AL13. And I mistaken it for AU13, which means August 13. Short story, I came home, I poured the cup of milk which was expired in August, and I drank it in full. It was expired. There is no good thing to something that is expired, except to just throw it away. But it also tasted bad too. It didn't taste good. But hope in Jesus Christ has no expiry date. The ascension of Jesus makes the way for our hope to be up to date with the intentions of the heart of God in Christ Jesus. Once we have hope in Christ, we can build with patience to see its full fruit bear in our lives. And that fruit is eternal because it's not seen, but it is unseen. See, hope that is waited for and sought through Jesus can bring us peace and joy that nobody else can bring to the character of our lives. Patience with hope brings results. The next thing that hope requires is trust. It is putting God first in all things in our life. We anticipate or hope for something in His will that no matter when or how we will receive it, we know that He is going to align it and give it to us. See, the hope that Christ gives us is the eternal reward. He gives us everlasting life. He gives us peace beyond our comprehensions that we can fathom or grasp. And it's even simple. You know, have you ever been on those roller coasters before as well, like at those amusement parks? There is such a high point and the anticipation is so great when you're about to go down. You don't know what to expect if it will be your first time. You see, it's one thing you probably hold on for dear life when you're going down, but the same thing it is with hope. You see, it's one thing to trust and it's the next thing to hope. I hope to make it across this ride safely and I need to trust that the seatbelt will make it happen. But hope in Christ Jesus is saying that I hope to be in God's will and I trust that He is going to lead me to accomplish it. The disciples had this intention. After Jesus ascended, He was made the promise. He is given the promise, now I must do the work that He's called me to do. You see, the higher we have hope in that which is of eternal value, the greater fruit it will bear in our lives. The higher expectancy we have is the greater passion and drive that will be added to our lives to fulfill what God has called us to do. I'd like to think that the same way, the lower we have hope leaves an entrance for doubt, worry, and fear. And I'd like to think that that's not God's intention for His people and for none of us here today. But the disciples seeing Jesus being lifted up into heaven, they had the highest level of hope that what Jesus taught and said was all true. You see, they had expected much and they received much and they began living for God's intention and purposes. And the next, hope requires full submission. See, part of having hope is living in the center of God's will. It's allowing him to orchestrate your life no matter what the cost is. Are you willing to pay the price? The disciples in the book of Acts, they finally came to the end of themselves to realize that they can't do it on their own strength. But the life that Jesus came to establish while he lived on earth was only to bring about everything that God commanded him to do. To establish a world with divine order between both God and both man. See, Christ was the divine reconciler between humanity and mankind. And Jesus, he commands his disciples to continue the ministry that the instructions to obey. The gospel is to be proclaimed throughout the whole world. This was one of the key instructions that he gave to his apostles. We are given hope by God to bring that message of hope to the world. It's almost as God inspires us so that we can be an inspiration and to inspire others. He leads us and he guides us. We can know today that God's kingdom brings hope. See, the ascension of hope comes that when we put our full faith and confidence in Jesus, we will receive from him and receive the blessing. In other words, the ascension of Jesus is the full essence of what we are to live for. The ascension of Christ brought two things to the people of Jerusalem. The ascension of Christ brought hope to the believers, and hope comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was an unlearned man. He was a man who had no education in Jerusalem. And he received full confidence and hope, which fully transformed his life from fearful to fearless. And those who have no hope and their faith can be seen in. Especially those who have no hope. A place that burns with fire unquenchable and the warmth never fails is a place with those who have no hope. But thank God that through Jesus, there is hope available to us in this era, in this generation, in this dispensation. But one thing that the Lord ministered to me that I should declare over Devon Community Church and those watching online is that I am ascending you to a new level. And that whether that's in your marriage, in that business that you're working for, you will never be the same. As God begins to say, will you trust me to meet your needs? And I will meet them and be with you. In times of trouble, in times of strength, there is hope available for you and I today. And that's the hope that Christ is in us. Living for Christ is living hope. As Christ begins to mold us, as Christ begins to shape us into his image, his calling, and his purpose. And as we see, it's so similar that God has the full plan and purpose in our hearts and our lives. When we go into this hope with expectation, we know that whatever we ask according to God's will, we will receive from him. And this is the hope. This is the confidence that is in Christ today. And even those of you watching online, you can be encouraged and put at full peace and knowing the confidence and the hope that comes through Christ Jesus. So what are you living for? If that's a question that we should ask, what are you living for? What is your hope? If we can only wait to see God's timing and not our timing, it will always be the best timing. Now, living for Christ is not a dead hope. It's a living, ascended, powerful hope that is in us. God is meeting you where you are today to bring you to amazing heights with him. And as you begin to trust him, as you begin to seek him and move more into his purpose and call, you will see that hope come alive in you. A hope that is far beyond what our minds can think, far beyond what our hearts can imagine. There is hope. Amen, church? There is hope. But I'd like to ask the worship team to come. This is the confidence that we have in Christ. Hope does not make ashamed. Hope is something that we have to move into, something that we can accomplish without. The hope in Christ Jesus gives us a passion, it gives us a drive, something expecting God to do. A hope is not ashamed. And Jesus wants us to have hope in Him, so that no matter what we do in this life, when we put Him first and in confidence and trust, we will see His plan and purpose come to pass in our lives today. I'd like to pray with you today. And while all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be some of you here today that need hope in Christ again. You can't do what He's calling you to do on your own strength and power. You find that it takes leaning on the Holy Spirit's power to take you in this life, to make you effective in any field that He's calling you towards. To those of you who need to hope again, you trust God, but you don't seem to find any way out. There are some people who need to hope again. And if that's you today, then please lift your hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for those who have lifted their hand. Lord, You see every heart. And Lord, I thank You that You provide hope for Your people, that You provide hope in times of strength and in times of need. And I thank You for my sister, and I thank You for my brother who need that hope and that encouragement, and that You give them the passion and the drive to succeed and to move forward. Second, there may be some of you here today who have no hope at all. It seems as if I don't have the assurance of where I'm going. And even if I were to breathe my last breath today, I don't know where I'm going. But you can have hope today. If that's you, then gently acknowledge. Even those of you online, if you know that your life has not been right with God, you can make it right today, because there is hope. Thank You for those of no hope, Lord Jesus, to those who don't yet know You as personal Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that You reveal Your Son to us. And Lord, that those who do not have no hope, that You will give them the hope of eternal life, that You provide fullness of joy, fullness of peace, and everlasting life with You. I'd like to pray. Part of the ascension of hope involves putting your faith in God. Trusting Him in little is also trusting Him in very much. I want you to believe God to heal you and can still do the work that He has been doing on earth since He ascended into heaven. The hope that Christ provides is healing to His people. He wants to lift you up. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you a future. But those of you who have come in here with any sickness or pain, just lift up your hands before God. Because one thing that God promised today is that He wants to heal His people today. You know, Jesus always made a public declaration. As a sign that you believe God, I would like for you to come here today and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the strength. The Bible says He is our comforter. He is our teacher. He is our refiner, the Holy Spirit. He encourages us when no one else can encourage us. And so let His sweet presence touch your life today. Even those watching online, if you need a touch from God, you need a reason to hope, hope for your healing, hope for that which you are in need of desperately. And if there are those of you today who have that sickness in the body, I would like for you to come before God. He is going to heal you. He's going to give you life. Part of the hope of, that Christ provides is the blessing of His people, the provision of His people. And if there's anyone here today who has arthritis pain or diabetes, I would like to pray for you as well. I'd like for you to come and show as an example to God, as openly, that you will be healed here at this altar today. Because He's providing hope to those who have no hope. He's providing strength to those who don't have strength. And He's providing life to those who need life. God wants to touch you. Those of you at home, I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray that you touch them, that you give them the confidence, that you give them the hope that only you can give. Heavenly Father, I pray for them online that you will strengthen them, and that even as your disciples hoped in you, because you died, because you resurrected, and because you ascended, we have a drive to live for. And I thank you that your people are encouraged. I thank you that your people are touched by you and the hope that you provide. So thank you for divine healing and for your work in our lives. In Jesus' name.